Hello, James.
Hey, mate.
Thanks for coming on. Oh, hey, guys, we've got James here from the Foot Collective Australia. And if your Instagram feed is anything like mine, you've probably seen his face and his toes and his feet. The Instagram algorithm has put James in front of me many, many times before we actually connected and met. So he's the head of the Foot Collective Australian branch. James, thanks for coming. Can you tell us what the hell that is?
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, the Foot Collective itself is a company started by Nick St. Louis over in Canada. But really what it is now and what it's grown to be is like a collective of mostly practitioners, but also just like-minded people who believe that, the feet are very resilient and capable parts of our body that can be trained and that improving foot health is also a really good gateway into improving overall body health, basically. So, it's all about empowering people to take more control of their own health. And we just start at the feet as like a gateway to that.
Hell yeah. Awesome. So James is a physio. You're a physio, right?
Yeah.
So James is a physio and comes from a background of playing soccer or football, depending on where you live. And so James does a bit of running, but you probably wouldn't call yourself a runner, right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Aspiring.
But we both have a very similar philosophy, or at least our philosophy overlaps quite a lot in terms of like a healthy approach to like movement and the legs and the feet and how that can then like help you run and move better and how that can like potentially reduce injury in the feet and then further up the body as well. So if any of the listeners remember our chat with Tim Branston maybe 2 years ago, this will be interesting one as well. But basically, if you're in orthotics, or if you're in chunky shoes, or if you're unsure what shoes are for you, or like got some niggles in your feet, or trying to like navigate that whole kind of hectic world, this will be, pretty interesting chat, I think, depending on James fits out of his gob. But basically, I wanted to like, talk about you and how you got to the point you're at, because you're a physio, right? Like just like me. And so, but now you don't treat patients anymore, but you do this foot collective thing. So can you run me through that story? Because I think that's important.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a physio and been out of university. I graduated in 2015 and just started my career. I'll try not to go into my full life story, but started.
Where were you born? How many kids?
Yeah. But started my career in just a physio clinic here in Brisbane, quite a manual therapy sort of focused clinic, I would say, quite an interesting approach, quite a whole body approach, but also very, for the most part, very manual therapy focused on sort of treating issues with our hands and, found a lot of interesting experiences in that job. But over time, I started reading more authors like Katie Bowman and Kelly Starrett and Todd Hargrove, and just exploring other aspects of movement rather than just sort of physio stuff. Like we don't really get taught a lot about movement, I find, in the physio degree. I don't know what your experience was. Like we get taught about biomechanics and, anatomy and physiology, but not really a whole heap of movement, and certainly not a whole heap of practice of movement. So I started getting a lot more into practicing movement and thinking about movement differently, and just found that I didn't resonate as much with just treating patients with manual therapy, and felt like I was missing that extra part of movement training and the lifestyle around movement. And then found myself in a role with a neurosurgeon called David Johnson up here, who is still running a program called functional movement therapy for his back pain patients who, were either pre-surgery trying to avoid surgery or post-surgery trying to recover. And so we're teaching them pretty much fundamental movement patterns, how to hinge, how to squat, how to row, how to, just a lot of functional therapy, just improving function, not so much focusing on pain, which I had been in the previous job, but focusing on improving function. And And I was already across a lot of the barefoot concepts. Like I'd read or maybe heard people on podcasts before, and I already wore sort of barefoot shoes or minimalist shoes, and had just sort of, it made sense to me that the closer you can be to the ground and the less sort of technology in your shoes, the more your feet will do and the stronger they'll be. But someone put on my mate, another mate, James, put the Foot Collective Instagram on my radar, and I thought, oh, that's really cool, and just got me thinking about it a lot more again. And I started to notice that all of these back pain patients, these really chronically debilitated back pain patients, would come in with really big, thick Hoka shoes and, you know, just very, a lot of cushioning, a lot of support, often orthotics. And, you know, they've been through all these practitioners, they're people who are going to a surgeon, they've been through a lot of practitioners to try and figure out what's going on with their back pain. And, you know, inevitably they've ended up in these really big cushioned shoes. And notice that they're trying to learn how to hinge and squat and do these fundamental patterns, and they're just sort of wobbling around the place, like really struggling to coordinate. And having looked more at the Foot Collective, I thought, well, let's just try getting your shoes off. And I would start the classes by getting their shoes off, and instantly I would notice a difference in how easily they would pick up these movements. Because, you know, they're getting more, it may just makes a lot of sense. You're getting more or better sensory input from the ground, and therefore you can get a better motor output, or a better movement output, and it's more coordinated and more stable. You can just think of a difference, like for a more active population, if you go to the gym and squat, then are you going to be more stable on flat ground or on a big, you know, one of those blue balance cushions? It's pretty easy. And, you know, there's a lot of, I know this is generally centered on running, and there you can, that's a whole other conversation about cushioning for running and so on. But just in terms of natural fundamental movements, I've noticed this massive, significant improvement in people's ability to learn them when they were barefoot. And anyway, I had this opportunity to start an Australian division. I really resonated with what the Foot Collective were putting out, and love the idea of the other thing that actually the big thing that drew me in, or one of the big things, was the beam and like the play-based movement. Like I understood sort of foot strengthening and so on, or it was on my radar, but seeing people play on a beam as a way to increase foot strength, mobility, and how your foot integrates with your hip, I was like, oh, that's really cool and fun. And I started playing with it, and I just sort of said to Nick, oh, can I start an Australian division? And he said, yeah, please. And then, yeah, that was 2018. So yeah, coming up to 4 years ago now, and it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, it's good. Cool. I think about this at length, and there's kind of like two different approaches to like foot health, right? Like one is exactly what you just outlined, where it's pretty hard to learn how to do a movement if you're standing on a pillow. Like try squatting on a pillow and try squatting on flat ground, what's easier? Like we'd all say that, yeah, it's easier to do it when you're not standing on a pillow, because you're just more connected with the ground and more solid and engaged and stable. But then, and like to you and I, that's kind of how our brains would think. But then it is, you can see how people would think, well, what if my foot is not ideally aligned? What if my ankles are rolled at a funny angle? Won't that then make it harder to do a movement? So then theoretically, like put an orthotic under my foot really perfectly, and this is semi-sarcastic, but like quote unquote, perfectly align your foot, wouldn't that make more sense to then move easier? And like to some extent, I understand that train of thinking, and that's what a lot of podiatry has been for the, I don't know, last 30, 50, whatever years, is like align things, it makes more sense, that way you'll move better. But what we're learning now over the last 5, 10, however many years, is that maybe you're better off not trying to fully align things so they look good. Maybe you should just work on like their function and strength and your capacity to move, right? Like, and it's, so like, that's one way I look at it, is like the alignment of things, which is we just don't really even talk about alignment anymore. As long as things move well and they're strong, that's more important than like alignment of your foot bones. And then the other thing that pops up is like cushion, right? Kind of like logically for the layperson, it would make sense if things hurt when you're walking and standing and running and whatnot, then put a bit more cushion under it. Surely that will help. And that is like logical. But then if you think about it, you put cushion under it, then you're like, you're constantly walking on like a semi-unstable surface, always landing on foam. So you're always, your foot's always kind of like searching for a solid surface, searching for the ground, and you're kind of just blocking all of that input for your body. So it can be, it's kind of counterintuitive, but like having more cushion at times can then create more pain or create more impact because your body's looking for something that's a bit more solid. I don't know. That's kind of how I look at those things. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I envision it as just like a negative cycle, really. Like the more cushioning and support you provide a body part, let's just talk about the feet for now, but the more cushioning and support you provide, the more it'll need it, because just that's just basic fundamental physiology of the body. It's the said principle. If you, you know, disuse a body part, then it'll get weaker and stiffer. And so if I think the problem really is that we start people, well, one, we have an overwhelmingly sedentary lifestyle now in modern society. Like it's just when we're not having to move for our food, we're not moving through natural environments, we're not getting the exposure to natural movement that we would or that our genes expect. And also on top of that, we put young kids in shoes very early, and the narrative, the overwhelming narrative is that the more cushioning and support, the better, pretty much. Although, interestingly, most people seem to be in agreement that, you know, babies and toddlers should be barefoot a lot or in, you know, soft, pliable shoes. But for some reason, at some point around 5 years old, kids should start wearing cushioned, heeled, supportive shoes. And so the cushioning and support makes the feet work less, and then they need more and more. And it creates this spiral of like, oh, well, now the feet hurt. So, okay, we'll add some more cushioning and more support. And they're not controlling their pronation properly. So we'll just, you know, support that arch and support that pronation, as opposed to, well, what's causing that in the first place? It's actually disuse. So should we start actually using the feet more and exposing it to more challenge so that it can do all of that itself? So it's quite interesting. A lot of the, like a lot of people will find that, you know, they've had knee pain or foot pain or back pain, and they've gone to a podiatrist and the podiatrist has given them an orthotic and it's changed, say, the alignment or some kind of sensory input in their feet, and it's helped their pain. And it's just a matter of saying, well, cool, that's a great indicator that your feet are contributing to this issue. But let's see how we can get your foot to do the job of that orthotic, or to get, you know, the function of your core and your hips integrating with your feet so that you don't need that orthotic. Because, I mean, I don't think anyone really wants to have to rely on orthotics. They don't want to be on orthotics all the time. Like you want to be able to get out of them. You want to be able to get out of your shoes and be free to go and, you know, walk on the beach or just do stuff without your shoes on sometimes. Like it just feels good.
That's what I always come back to is like, sure, it can help short term and great. You put them on and go, oh, my knees hurt less. Like, cool, it's a short term thing. That's great. But you're just sticking a band-aid on the problem. And sure, it feels good when you're in orthotics. But what happens when you go up the coast and want to go for a week at the beach? Like, do you have to wear your hockers and orthotics every day on your beach holiday because that's what makes you feel good? Or can you just like pop your thongs on and go for a trot along the sands? Like, I think about that. I'm like, why would you, like, surely no one wants to be in orthotics, right? But it's tough when you're given a thing and you put it in your foot, in your shoe, and you go, oh, I have less pain, therefore I need that forever. It's just like, you can put, you know, it's why we use like strapping tape as physios. We'll strap something and you go, oh, fuck, that feels better. But then you can kind of support it for a little bit, build up some strength, get it moving well, but you're not going to strap a body part for the rest of your life. Like you just don't. So get things kind of like strong and move well. And that's what I like about your thing is that it's, you're all about like, yeah, moving and get it strong, but interact that with your, like, kind of put that into your lifestyle somewhere. So make it playful, make it fun. And that's kind of what really gets me about the Foot Collective and everything you've got going on is make it fun. Like it's not like, oh, you need to do 25 calf raises 6 times a day or whatever. It's like, no, hell, just play for 15 minutes. Like, do some balancing, do some footwork stuff, kick a ball around, but do it barefoot on grass where your feet are like mobile and pliable. Yeah. And just like, climb trees and shit. You know what I mean? Like that's what rehab should be.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, we use our little tagline or one of our taglines is restore to explore. And so, you know, we try to vision, you know, yes, in rehab, there's certain contexts where you do just have to do the boring work of calf raises and, you know, toe mobility stuff and, ankle mobility and just strengthening work that needs to be repetitive and progressive. And that's like work is it's structured, it's repetitive, and it's extrinsically motivating. Like you do that thing for the sake of a goal in the future. Like you want to be stronger and more mobile in the future. You don't necessarily do it for the fun of it. And in rehab, there is definitely a role for that. And, you know, just isolating certain muscles and strengthening those muscles and isolating certain joints. And like, I never want to throw that stuff out because it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But at the same time, it's not very exciting for someone like to just go, oh, okay, well now I just have to do these boring exercises for the rest of my life. But it's like restore that natural foot function, restore your big toe mobility, restore your intrinsic muscle strength and your arch control so that you can explore what your feet are capable of and explore movements of your body, natural movements or play-based movements with your body that actually keep it in good shape. So, you know, like when I started this journey, my feet were quite stiff and I mean, they weren't as bad as I would, you know, I've never had really chronic foot pain or anything major, but they were definitely stiff. My whole body was stiff. And I did a lot of, quote unquote, boring work and mobility and strength and so on. But now I can just play with movement in a way that's fun for me. And I maintain all of that very easily. Yep. So I think it's important that people have that sort of light at the end of the tunnel where they're not like, oh, well, this sucks. Like this shit sucks. It's uncomfortable and, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm getting better kind of thing, versus like, well, have a little bit of work. Like I like to think of it as like, if depending on where you're at in this stage of rehab, but if you've got a lot of work to do, have a lot of work and a little bit of play, and then just reduce the amount of work that you're doing and increase the amount of play that you're doing over time. And it just, actually the other part is play is probably, like you said, it's probably one of the best ways to rehab is like, you need to have reps and sets sometimes, but also you need to be able to play with variables so that you're actually, you know, you can't just be completely rigid of like, I'm sticking to this program and nothing else is happening. Like you need to be able to go, oh, well, maybe I tweak the way I'm doing this. And you can only really do that with a playful approach to it all.
Yeah. And I guess you need all your baseline stuff in order. Like, do you have the mobility in this joint? Do you have the strength in that muscle? And that's the specifics, right? Get that stuff down pat. And then, transitions into just maintenance, but doing it in a fun and productive way.
Yeah.
Which is sick, which is really cool. I have a question for you. Seeing as the audience is runners, say they've got this far and they're like, oh, hell yeah, I wear my Asics, my Brooks, my Hockers, and I have the same pair of orthotics that I put in three shoes. But I'm injury free, I'm feeling good and I'm healthy and whatnot. What do I do here? So like if someone's in orthotics but is happy about it, what's your advice to them?
Yeah, I mean,
because this is what I get this shit every day.
Yeah, it's like why am I going to do all this stuff? Well, there's a couple of things I'd say. Yeah, there's a natural foot function piece. Like, do you want to always be reliant on wearing orthotics and cushioned shoes to run, or do you want to be able to go down to the park and chase a frisbee barefoot kind of thing and you know feel confident doing that? So, you know, I guess it depends if the person is like, hey, look, my feet do hurt when I'm out of orthotics, but I don't really mind. I'll just wear my orthotics. So if all someone's goal is to be pain-free and they don't care about wearing their orthotics all the time, then, you know, you don't necessarily have to do anything. But as well, most runners will care about performance to some degree. And, you know, a lot of people will just do it for the, the enjoyment of it, but also there is that aspect, and I've done enough running to experience that aspect of like, oh, I can feel my fitness improving, my speed can improve, and the distance, and there is that element of enjoying the feeling of progress. And I think you'll find no matter what you're wearing, shoe wise or orthotic wise, and if you do work on foot strength, mobility, and balance and all of these things, then your performance will improve as well. And so it's like, it's not like an either or, it's like, ¿por qué no los dos? Like, why not both? Yeah. Just, and especially if you can do those things in like a fun way and you can integrate things into your life, then I think it's a win-win really.
Yeah.
I would say that most people, that being said, I mean, I think we talked about it when we connected for a chat recently, like, it's not, running isn't so much about the shoes that you wear. It's more about the technique. But certain shoes will promote certain technique. And I've found that, like I said, I haven't done a huge amount of running, but just if you run barefoot, you kind of have to run softly. You have to, you're overstride. You're much less likely to overstride because it just feels way off. Your heel strike, you're much less likely to heel strike. So you're much more likely to trend towards that sort of efficient technique. And also it does, I will say, if you've never done it, it does actually just feel really good to run barefoot and to have that sense of striking the ground softly. And because there is something about that interaction with the ground, you don't feel it as much if you've got a lot of cushioning. You could be landing heavily and not realizing, but when you're striking the ground softly and feeling that, just that you're the technology that's influencing your reaction to the ground, it feels really good.
That's it. It's like you're a spring on the ground, and
it does
feel good. And I'll do that to people quite a lot. I draw great satisfaction in this interaction when I might have someone come into the clinic at work and they're in, a thick, heavy cushioned shoe, regardless of orthotics or not. But basically the more cushion, the more support you put under your heel, the less you can feel the ground. So then you can run along. You can be running really heavy, big overstride without really knowing about it because you just can't feel it.
Yeah.
And then, so like, I'll film them or I'll record their data or whatever. And then I will say, all right, cool. Like, pop your shoes off. And they'll run again. And sometimes people know it, notice it instantly, like, oh my God, I'm running differently. Or sometimes people run differently without shoes, without even just realizing it. And I'll film them or record their data and show it back to them. And I say, hey, look how different this is. And when they're in shoes, they're just thumping on the ground, landing heavy, not knowing about it. But when they're barefoot, like 99% of people, instantly, their technique just looks amazing. They get this really nice, soft landing. They start to spring along the ground. And that's kind of the inherent, like, there's two inherently different ways to run. One is to like just be loud and heavy. One is to spring along the ground. And that's where footwear comes into the discussion for me, for runners, is if you're wearing a shoe that blocks the feeling of the ground and so that you don't even know that you're running heavily, that's not great. But you can get that light feeling, that springing along the ground feeling. You can get that in any shoe so long as you're aware of it. Does that kind of make sense to you, James?
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes people have to have that experience of doing it barefoot to go, oh, I get what I'm looking for, kind of thing. And I get to have that awareness.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll do that. And then I'll let them put their own shoes back on and I'll say, hey, try and run like that, but with your shoes on. And some people can, some people can't. So you can put on a heavy cushioned shoe and still have really nice technique. Mm. And for the sake of going for a 10K run, that's okay for me. But some people put their heavy cushioned shoe back on and then they cannot run with nice technique in that shoe. And I'm like, hey, that's when it's probably relevant to go and get a lighter shoe or a more flexible shoe or something with less cushion that'll encourage that nicer running style. So I know for me, and this is just because I've been running for years and years and years in different shoes, and I'm very tuned into my technique. I can run in any shoe and I'll still have a very similar technique because I'm quite aware and quite dialed into it. That some people, the more shoe you put under their foot, the worse their technique gets. So not all the time, but for some people. So, and that's in terms of the whole running footwear thing, that's where I'm at. It's like, you can wear whatever you want, so long as you can maintain that nice technique. But if the shoe's too chunky for you to run well, you probably need a shoe that's a little bit lighter until you learn that really nice technique.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my approach to it. But then I just then don't really want people wearing chunky, thick, heavy shoes for the other 23 hours of the day not running. And that's the thing, right? Like,
yeah,
it can be a really nice approach to this whole myriad of shoes and the confusing world that it is. It's like, for your day job, or you know, for the other 12 hours of the day you're on your feet, try and wear something with no cushion, no support, no nothing, so that your feet can work and engage. And then when you go for your run, if you're going to run on concrete for an hour, sure, maybe a bit of cushion would be nice, but do it with a nice technique. And like, that is the answer to every running shoe footwear question ever in my mind, unless you're injured and it's a little bit different, but anyway.
Yeah, that's it. It's really down to context. Like the sport or the shoe that you run in or play sport in or whatever is nowhere near as important as the shoe that you spend your day to day in. And it's just that this idea of cushioning and support has crept into, oh, you need it. You need, quote unquote, need it for running, or it's beneficial for running, so therefore you need it all the time. But the difference between running on concrete for 10Ks is, in terms of load, is very different to walking around, you know, day-to-day sort of general stuff. And so, yeah, your feet will benefit. Whoever you are, your feet will benefit from either switching or at least transitioning to, you know, minimal cushioning, minimal support, wide toe box. I mean, that's another concept we can talk about with footwear is like, yeah, you might want cushioning, but do you want a narrow toe box or do you want a wide toe box that actually allows proper big toe alignment? But yeah, it's just, again, it comes back to that sort of cycle. Like if you're used to being in those shoes, you'll feel like you need them more when you're running. But the best, if you do want to transition to, if you do want to get into more like barefoot or minimalist shoe running, because you like the concept and you like the idea of it, then probably the best place to start is switching your day-to-day shoes so that your feet start to build up the tolerance in that low load setting, and then you know, building up gradually. You'll need to reduce your volume pretty significantly to then transition into more barefoot shoes. But yeah, I think the, like you were saying before, the cushioning can allow you to get away with a poor technique for longer. You'll notice it a lot quicker if you're barefoot or in minimalist shoes, but if you've got a lot of cushioning, then you'll get away with the poor technique, which will then predispose you to more like overuse injuries from an inefficient pattern.
Yeah, that's like 100% it. And actually, it kind of reminds me, I'll probably butcher the details here, but I did come across a study a couple of years ago that looked at building foot strength. When we say foot strength, you've actually got little muscles that live in your foot, like underneath your arch. We call them intrinsic foot muscles. So a study looked at how do we get those muscles stronger. And this study got two cohorts, and they split them up into two different groups over several months. It may have been 3 or 6 months, but they split them up into two groups. One group just wore minimal barefoot style shoes for the number of months, and then the other group kept their regular shoes, whatever they were wearing, but did specific foot strengthening. And they sent them away for a few months, got them back, and then measured the size of their foot muscles by MRI, like scanning the feet, looking at cross-sectional area of muscles to see how they'd grown. And if you did dedicated foot strength work for a few months, or if you did no strength work, you just wore barefoot shoes, then your feet grew in strength the same amount. Is really interesting. So people are like, well, how do I, like, cool, I've been in orthotics, maybe I'm a bit weaker or stiffer or whatever, how do I get them strong? I'm like, bit of both, but like literally just supporting your foot less and going about your life, playing, running, whatever you want to do, they'll get stronger if you just take away that external support. Or there's like stuff you can do on top as well to like strengthen your feet, like little stretchy foot exercises. A big thing at the Foot Collective is like balancing and like doing it on balance beams. Because I've got one of the Foot Collective balance beams, and literally, I reckon I got good feet and good balance, but just standing on that thing is freaking hard, and your feet and ankles work so hard to just stand on a balance beam. There's little things like that that build up your foot strength. So that's where my mind is at, is like, do some foot strength work, play barefoot, but just wearing non-supportive shoes throughout the day is one of the best things you can do. And give it a few months, you'll feel different. Your feet is going to feel engaged and more, I don't know, more in tune. So then it'll then feel a bit, well, for a lot of people, they find then it feels odd to go and put on your chunky, heavy, stiff shoes. Yeah. It just doesn't feel right. And for me, I put on chunky, heavy shoes and it just doesn't feel good. It's kind of it's like, you know, you've moved your arms and shoulders all day. It's like putting your shoulder in a sling. And holding it, it just doesn't feel that good. Unless you've just broken your arm, then it might feel nice. But like, it just doesn't feel good to tie things down and limit them. But I can only say that because I've done the barefoot thing for years. And like, my feet feel good now. It's everyone's on their own journey with this thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a few really good points in that. And it's definitely what you get used to. Like, it's amazing. Like my mate, my business partner, Mac, he spent 7 years as a journalist and he was in RM Williams boots all day, every day, like 12-hour days.
Think about how pointy they are, right?
They're so pointy and so rigid and so healed. Yeah. And because we moved in, like we lived together for a few years as well. And I was like, dude, I think you should try and find something else for your boots. He took a bit of convincing. But somehow he maintained a pretty good splay. So obviously there's genetic factors that come into how much your splay is influenced by your shoes. But he then got out of those shoes and out of narrow shoes and in general and started wearing barefoot shoes a lot more. And then the other day he even put some Converse on. He went to like a festival and put some Converse on and he said his feet were just aching. Like, it's just, once you know what your feet are supposed to feel like, you just don't tolerate the crappy feeling of rigid and narrow anymore.
And it's a bit, it's tricky because fashion dictates that's what shoes should look like. And if you don't wear those shoes, then you're unfashionable and your options are limited. But yeah, shoes aren't supposed to be in a tapered, pointy toe box. They're not supposed to, but fashion says that they should be, but it's hard.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the thing. I've said it before on other podcasts, but like, you kind of have to be weird to be healthy these days. Like, there's so many things that are weird, or quote considered weird, but that's exactly what we should be doing, or it's actually returning to our nature. Like something, like you said before, we need to integrate into our lifestyle these things that are good for our foot strength and foot function, like things like wearing barefoot shoes or going barefoot. It's not like you're necessarily adding anything in. Like, we're all time poor. Like, we've got jobs, we've got families, we've got, you know, other commitments and so on. You can only add in so much extra work or even play. But if you just switch up a few little environmental things, like if you wear different shoes, then you're strengthening your feet all day. Or if you sit on chairs less and spend more time on the ground in a squat or in a kneeling position or in a, you know, like any kind of ground sitting position, then you're mobilizing your hips, your knees, your ankles, your feet, your toes while just resting. And, you know, it's less comfortable at first to do that. And other people are like, well, why are you sitting on the ground when you can sit in a chair? Like, that's so weird. But if you do that, then you don't have to spend an hour mobilizing your hips at the end of the day after sitting in a chair. You can just mobilize your hips while you're sitting, you know, quote unquote sitting. So there's a lot of those, you know, environmental and lifestyle factors that I think get missed, and we're all sort of feeling overwhelmed by how much extra stuff we have to do. Oh, my hips feel really tight. I need to mobilize them. My feet are, you know, tight and stiff. I need to strengthen them and so on. It's like, no, we just do the thing, like return to a more natural lifestyle and environment. It doesn't have to be like going to live in a cave, but just, you know, find little ways to return to that more natural lifestyle, and you'll be literally, like, seriously, you'll be impressed how much benefit your body gains from not actually adding in much work.
Yeah. I had this chat with a real estate agent, a patient of mine who came in with some ankle pain. It was getting into running, ankles hurt and stuff. And he's a real estate agent. So by virtue of his job, he's in like trousers and a button up shirt and then like pointy leather shoes. And we were having this chat and I'm like, dude, I get it. Like for your job, it's unfortunate, but for your job, you kind of have to look the way you look. Mm-hmm. You have to wear the shoes you do. But and then we started like, I was like, man, I just like, oh, and we know that they're not good for your feet and they're probably contributing to what you're here with. And he's like, oh, well, I'm in the office like 2/3 of the day. Should I just kick my shoes off when I'm in the office? I'm like, yeah. Like, can you? He's like, yeah. So I can walk around the office in my socks. I'm like, done. Like if that's 2/3 of your day, we don't have pointy shoes on, but then when you go out, you stick your pointy shoes back on. I'm like, that's cool. That's 2/3 of the day where you're improving. So it's little things like that you can do. And then if you combine that with, not spending those 2/3 of the day sitting in a leather chair, but just like up and moving, that's going to be better too.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it is this whole lifestyle thing. So we can all do little changes like that. And if you combine that with like incorporating like dedicated exercise into your life, whether that's swimming or going for walks or running or whatever, and that, and then playing where you can, it's just this whole lifestyle thing. When you do that, you're probably not going to present to a physio clinic with chronic back pain. Like you're just probably not going to. Like,
yeah.
It's really interesting. Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, it seems like people might be listening, being like, gee, that seems like a lot. Like, you know, again, it always seems like there's a lot of stuff to implement, you know, kicking your shoes off or changing your shoes or not sitting in a chair. And it can seem a bit like, oh, like, do I have to really have to do all these things or can't I just do an exercise and it'll be fine? But you're going to, like, your body will force you to do these things at some point or another. Like, you might as well start now before you're in pain. Like, a lot of people wait until they're in pain or they have some kind of issue to make these changes. But if you just start now, then hopefully you can avoid that pain. Like, there's so many things that are preventable if you just, you know, get in quick and decide to make a change early. And also, you know, I think, a lot of these changes can seem like, oh, that's a bit scary. And again, it's like a bit weird. I don't want to be that weird one. But once you make the change, you realize it's not that scary. Like, it's not that crazy to do. I think the biggest, like, we've had the stand-up workstation thing go through the offices. Like, most people are used to that. I think the next big thing will be ground-based workstations for schools and offices. Because I think that's like an absolute game changer.
Yeah, for sure. I think so too. Be interesting. Hey, question. I want your just your what comes up for you for this. Plantar fasciitis. It's a terrifying term if you're a runner. So I just want to have a quick chat with you about what the plantar fascia is, what it does, how it works, and then how you can like take everything we've just talked about and put that towards like your plantar fascia, if that makes sense. So like, there's this thing called the Windlass mechanism in the foot, which like kind of blows my mind. When I was hearing about this stuff years ago, I wanted to be a podiatrist initially, like years ago. And it was things like this, the way the foot works is like, wow, podiatry is fascinating. That's where it's at. And then side note, my dad was like, you don't want to cut old women's toenails just your life, do you? And I said, no. So I didn't become a podiatrist, but became physio. No. It's fascinating. Like, so your plantar fascia does this thing called the Windlass mechanism. And basically, like, when your foot is, like, if you're just, like, sitting down or just standing around and not doing much, your foot's in, like, a pretty relaxed position and there's all these bones and joints and ligaments in your feet and your foot's quite mobile, like, it should be quite pliable when you're just at rest. But when you're walking and standing and running, as you get to the point where you're about to toe off the ground, your toes extend. And when your toes extend, that tightens your plantar fascia and that allows you to propel yourself off the ground. And then when you land, your toes aren't extended anymore. So you're landing with your plantar fascia not on stretch. And so then your foot becomes this mobile, soft, supple structure again. So basically your plantar fascia, every time you take a step, it gets tightened and loosened and tightened and loosened and tightened and loosened. And that's what makes your foot, will transfer your foot from a soft structure you can land onto, like a rigid structure you can propel from. And that's this thing called the wind lift mechanism. And when I first heard about this, I was like, holy shit, the foot's crazy. And that's like what the plantar fascia does. And then you get plantar fasciitis, which is like an overuse or pain within that kind of mechanism. Now, that's my understanding of it. Is that your understanding of it? Like, what do you think about when you think about plantar fasciitis? I really want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I kind of like to simplify all injuries into just an imbalance between capacity and demand. Like if you...
Yeah.
if we want to go that broad. So the plantar fascia, yeah, exactly like you said, it's involved with that windlass mechanism and big toe extension or just toe extension in general, but especially big toe extension will play a role in that. And so most shoes... cushion supportive, rigid, narrow shoes will limit big toe extension and it'll also reduce intrinsic foot muscle activation. And so the muscles get weak, the joints get stiff. And with that disuse comes a drop in capacity of that area and also a drop in capacity for like other areas like the hip to integrate with the foot. And then this is the thing, like most people will live very sedentary lives. They're in those shoes, they're sitting most of the day. And then because they feel like they need activity, they'll go and say, do a lot of running and they'll get a lot of load in that run that their foot actually doesn't have the capacity to tolerate. And pain, it gets quite deep, obviously, as you know, into like the realm of pain neuroscience and the fact that, you know, there might be actual structural issues, quote unquote, causing pain, or there might be structural issues without pain, or pain without structural issues. So the plantar, like the actual plantar fasciitis is heel pain, what most people refer to as plantar fasciitis. And, you know, in an acute phase where someone's done a run and they're going, oh, my heel hurts now. And it's like, yes, there might actually be some literal inflammation. But the issue really is like the overall load management. Like you actually haven't built up enough load tolerance in your feet to manage the load that you're exposing them to. So I like to sort of, it is this big, a lot of injuries can get that sort of feeling of like, oh, it's this scary thing, but it's like, let's just take it back to fundamental principles of load management. And obviously if you are inflamed or if you, it's very, some, an area is very irritable, you need to back off the load enough that you're not flaring it up and irritating it and then gradually rebuild. It's like the calm shit down, build shit back up kind of concept that Greg Lehman talks about.
It's tricky. Runners get it a lot, and I think at its most basic, it's like your foot is strong enough to do a certain amount of work. If you do more work than that, your foot can get sore and flare up. So when we're talking about plantar fasciitis, it's like if you have a really well functioning strong foot, you're just not very likely to get it. You're likely to injure something else first. But if you get plantar fasciitis, it kind of says, well, was that the weakest part in your chain? Was your foot the bit that gave out first when you run too much? Cool, maybe you've got a weak foot or a foot that just doesn't function that well. And conversely, if you run heaps and you get sore knees, it's like, okay, that's the part of your body that just didn't handle the impact as much. So, yeah, it is just a pure overuse thing. But then I'm always like, well, why did the foot get overused? Why did you get plantar fasciitis? Why was that the first thing that popped up for you instead of like hamstring pain or like knee pain or whatever it might be? And so then it's like, you need to have that like healthy foot that moves well, that functions well, that has strength in it. And we haven't really talked about this, but like your big toe is super important and needs to have the flexibility to extend. You need to be in shoes that let your big toe extend, and you need to have the strength in your big toe to be able to do that. So it's like plantar fasciitis is a bitch, but if you've got it, then you need to take a step back and like have a look at your shoes and look at your feet and look at how that's all working. Which is hard.
Well, it comes back to this concept of like pain is happening for us. I really believe that pain, it's not something that just happens to us because we're unlucky and oh shit, I got plantar fasciitis, so that sucks. let's get an orthotic and keep running the same volume. Because if you do get an orthotic or change your shoes and keep running the same volume, you might band-aid that issue for some time. But it's likely either to present in the same area later down the line, or just something else will start hurting because you haven't actually solved that root issue of foot function or technique or overall load management. And, you know, load management is a whole nother topic, probably a little too deep for this podcast at the moment that we could go into.
Oh, they hear about it on every episode.
A lot of different things that will come into load. Okay, cool. Yeah, perfect. So people are familiar with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I don't think it's good enough just to say, okay, well, I want to keep running. And I know this is a very strong tendency of all humans, not just runners, but it's like, you want to keep doing the things that you're doing because it makes you feel good and you want to keep your progress up and everything. But you have to use that pain as a signal of like, well, what do I need to change here? Let's take a broad look at my overall movement diet and my environment and my lifestyle and say, what things can I tweak to actually change this? And usually restoring natural foot function is a really big part of that.
Yeah, and it's a very holistic way that makes sense and is completely logical. A lot of runners are like, maybe I'll just buy a different pair of shoes and keep running. It's like, oh, people always looking for a silver bullet, right?
It's not the shoe. Yeah.
It's usually not the shoe, exactly. Before we wrap up, can you tell me about hacking the system?
Yes, I can. I'd love to. So hacking the system is essentially born, weirdly enough, I just started playing with the hack over COVID kind of lockdown times. I just started going out of the park and playing hacky sack a lot with my then housemate and now business partner, Mac. And we'd do it all barefoot, obviously, because we're barefoot dudes. And we'd grip the hacky sack with our feet and be doing all these movements with our legs, which no one can see while you're listening, but you can envision people playing hacky sack. Most people know what hacky sack is. So a whole heap of like dynamic hip rotation and foot dexterity and foot, you know, hand or eye foot, you know, foot eye coordination, and all wrapped up in this just really fun activity that really got us in the zone and got us flowing. And you know, it was just a great way to connect as well. And then we thought, well, this is a really cool barefoot activity. We both grew up playing soccer, and we thought it'd be really cool to get kids out of their boots, because if you spend so much time in boots and then narrow, rigid footwear, which most kids do in school, then your foot function just disintegrates. I don't want to say disintegrate. Your foot function decreases over time if you do that. And we thought, well, getting him playing with a hacky sack, doing these things barefoot in grass is like a good sort of antidote to that. And then we just decided to go, well, we could also include beams in that, because balance, like we all know that playing with balance or training balance at least is important. Like if you have a sports injury, if you roll your ankle or you do a knee injury or pretty much any kind of sports injury, your physio will get you doing some kind of balance training. So it's like, oh, well, we know it's important in rehab. Why not just get kids doing that as a normal thing in their life, as a daily habit, before they get injured. And so it's turned into this big thing where we've teamed up with my so Mac's brother and his mate are both high level football players up here, and they've both done their ACL, and one's a football coach and one, the other one, works with kids. And we just thought, let's make this into like a full play-based injury prevention program where kids can play with a hacky, play on a balance beam, and do a bunch of sort of like ground-based locomotive natural movements like crawling and squatting and all these things to help them prevent injuries, because there are just so many preventable injuries. Like you can't, injury prevention is an interesting field because it's like, there's no way you're going to always prevent injuries. My injury prevention training in the world and still get smacked by someone else's knee and injure yourself. So, but the fact is you can minimize the risk by just improving your strength, mobility, and coordination. And it's quite a simple thing, but it's just not being done. Like the kids are just sitting all day at school and then going to play a high load sport like soccer, and the injury rates are skyrocketing and younger people are getting injured. And it's like, well, something needs to be done. You're not really going to get kids doing all the sort of work-based strength training that you see that's like the norm these days, is like, you know, squats and deadlifts and, you know, all of these things, which are really great for strengthening and mobilizing, but kids just want to play. Like, you're not going to get an 8-year-old kid in the gym doing all these things and enjoying it. Like, they just want to play with movement and have fun with their mates. And so if you can make sort of play-based games, movement games, and movement problems for them to solve, then it'll keep them busy and do it all barefoot. And yeah, that's pretty much the gist. So yeah, we've got an online program, and we've partnered up with we've actually got Peninsula Power, which is one of the biggest clubs up here, with their junior academy players, and a few other academies and clubs coming on board. So it's fresh, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. It's just taking everything we just talked about and doing it as an injury prevention thing in football players, which for me as a physio, I'm like, well, that's gold. That's really, really cool. Odds of it helping a runner, massive as well. Everyone who's listening should go on Insta and just follow both pages, because they're both really good. So is it tfc.australia?
Yeah, on Instagram, tfc.australia.
tfc.australia, and then Hacking the System as well.
Yeah, Hackying, HackYing, Hackying the System.
Hackying, I see what you did there.
Check them both out. We've got a podcast, our own podcast, the TFC Audio Project Down Under, which explores the first 10 episodes especially are exploring our whole philosophy and why we do a lot of balance training and foot training and ground living and all of these things. So if anyone's interested in that, and we've got blogs on most of those topics as well. So plenty to keep people busy, and obviously people can obviously feel free to reach out anytime as well if they've got questions.
Yeah, hectic. Awesome. Thank you for the chat, James. Really appreciate it, mate. I'm sure people have learned something, or at very least been inspired to like keep their shoes off. Hope you're not wearing shoes by the end of this. If you're still wearing your shoes and you listen to it, you suck.
Oh, no. But take them off. Yeah. Depends on the context.
Thanks for coming on, mate. We'll chat soon.